This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Loaded show. We have a bad economy that they're ignoring. We're going to talk about the destruction being intentional. All the January 6th stuff starts today. I'll tell you why that's a good thing. We have Marjorie Taylor Greene, that and more on I'm Right. Welcome to I'm Right. Let's talk about the economy. Know what I did last night? When I got done bringing you the news here on I'm Right? No, but seriously, you know what I did when I got done? When I finally took off the sport coat, got my vehicle, took off for home, called the wife, wanted to see if she needed anything, kids okay, everything's good, but driving home, gas lights on, okay, no big deal. Pulling the gas station up ahead, there was one right there on the right. I never crossed the street, I never go left, there was one right there on the right. And I pull into the gas pump, and I mean, I had to fill up my car, so I'll be honest, I actually didn't look at the price as I drove in. Pull in, put the gas pump in, start filling up, go inside, grab a couple things, chips, come back, still not done filling up. But I'm looking, and it keeps going up, and going up, and going up. And by the time it was done, I could feel the blood pressure in the side of my head. I could feel this vein I get when I'm getting really, really angry. I could feel it pulsing. $90. $90 for a tank of gas. And this wasn't some big diesel pickup truck. It's regular unleaded gas. It was a car. And I called my dad. Honestly, I got in the car. I drove home and I called my dad. And I just wanted to have a conversation and try to game it out in my head and say, Dad, how are normal people supposed to live with these prices? How? And I just wanted to ask, I mean, a normal working person, people work paycheck to paycheck, working people, how are they supposed to live with prices like this? And he told me, just flat out, he has a way of doing that. He said, well, son, they're not. They're not gonna. Life's gonna change for millions and millions of people. And I thought about that. I thought about that when I saw Joe Biden get up to the podium and tell you how great things are.
Because of the enormous progress we've made on the economy, the Americans can tackle inflation from a position of strength. It's still a problem. We can tackle it from a position of strength. The purpose that we've set out to accomplish and the progress we've made, I think, is critical. At the time I took office, about 16 months ago, the economy had stalled and COVID was out of control. Today, thanks to the economic plan and the vaccination plan that my administration put in action, America has achieved the most robust recovery in modern history.
most robust recovery in history. Now, set everything else aside. We're not even going to talk about you, or we're not going to talk about me right now. Let's talk about Rust Belt swing voters. The person who doesn't really pay attention to politics, he's not watching I'm Right as we speak. Normal voters. What do you think goes through the normal voter's head when he fills up his vehicle and he gets mad, like I got mad last night, and he goes home and he hears the president on television not presenting a plan for why those prices are about to go down. He hears the president on television telling him how good he has it. What level of anger is this fostering in various places in the United States of America? Honestly, I have said it before. I have said it. I'll say it again. And there are a lot of words you could use to describe the Biden administration. The one I keep coming back to is cold. How could you be so cold? Even if you don't care, how can you not know that families right now, they're delaying retirement? Families right now are going through budgets. I shouldn't pick up a piece of paper. Everyone does it on their phone now. Families are going through budgets, and they're figuring out what they can cut out of their lives, meaning American families are watching their standard of living decrease. Children out there, you think this isn't a big deal? I'm telling you, I have kids. It's a big deal. Kids, mom, dad, are we going to see Uncle Frank this year? We always go up and see him in Idaho and go fishing. And mom and dad are having to look Aiden, Jaden, and Braden in the eye, and they're having to say, no, I'm sorry, boys. We can't afford it this year, I'm sorry. When you have conversations like that with your children and then you hear the President of the United States of America get up and tell you how great things are, that's going to create a level of resentment and bitterness that I don't think these people fully realize. They're just so cold. And they all seem to be out of touch. You see this interview? Local news with people at the pump? Check this out.
Gas prices they're killing us.
It just took me $150 to fill up.
We're spending roughly like maybe $500 every 2 weeks for gas. I'm trying to get a second job, especially my wife being pregnant. We just want to stay home and not drive as much.
Good, right? So what's happening? Well, since that interview, gas prices have already risen 5 cents again per gallon. It's not that they've even stabilized. It's not that they're high. It's that they're high as Hunter Biden, and they continue to go up and up and up. And the White House seems to have a two-pronged strategy for telling you what's going on in the world when you're watching your standard of living go down. One, they're going to tell you it's not actually going down. Two, they're going to tell you, well, it is going down, but it's Putin's fault.
I do want to say, look, you know, if you look at what happened when Putin started amassing troops on the border with Russia, the price of gas has increased by $1.51.
Again, so cold. Now, I understand these people are political people. They're politicians. I understand that they're not going to sit up there and say, ah, I screwed up with my green energy nonsense, stopping all this domestic oil production. Hey, my fault. Totally apologize. This is on me. I'll get it fixed. I know we're never going to hear that. I'm not naive. But believe me, White House, when I tell you people don't want to hear how good they have it, and they don't want to hear, it's Putin's fault. We have all the charts, by the way. We have the statistics about when gas prices began to increase. It's right there in black and white. These are facts. These are not opinions. These are facts. We know what happened. And again, the craziest thing about it is one of the reasons I'm so cynical about where we are and where we're headed economically in this country, it's because they're not even trying to solve the problem. They're not even pretending the problem can be solved.
What is actually still on the table, though, to bring gas prices down?
The president is asking for Congress and others for potential ideas. But as you say, the reality is that there isn't very much more to be done.
That's, of course, a lie. Everyone knows what there is to be done. Everybody. You know. I know. What are you saying? Drill for more oil. The one thing that can bring down gas prices, though, is the one thing these people won't do. Not that they can't do it. They could do it tomorrow. They could tell the green lobby to go stuff it, and they could do it tomorrow, but they won't do it. Why won't they do it, though? I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's going to hurt his presidency. They're going to lose all these seats at the midterms. Why won't they just do it? Why not just drill for oil, bite the bullet? Why not just do it? Well, again, we always have to understand, and I know this is hard to accept. I know it is. It sucks. We have to understand the destruction is intentional. They're not looking at your standard of living dropping by the day and saying to themselves, oh, I feel so bad. How can we help them? They're looking at your standard of living going away and they're saying to themselves, finally, gosh, these carbon-producing peasants, about time we got them knocked down. These people are still out there trying to tell you to buy an electric vehicle.
Electric school buses and electric vehicles in general are the future.
By 2030, 50% of the vehicles we make in America will be electric. And by 2035, all vehicles we make in America will be electric.
We think that the future is electric no matter what.
Yeah, except where's the electricity coming from? And we act as if that's kind of a solution. On top of the average price of an electric vehicle being well north of $50,000, so you're telling the normal person who can't afford the gas to go spend $50,000 on a vehicle, well, let's talk about that electricity. Those prices are up too, between 77 and 233% those prices are up. Again, they know all these things. I want to make sure I always am reminding you of this and reminding myself of this. When I present these facts to you, these statistical truths, I mean, they can't be argued, right? These are facts. Price was this, it's that. Price is this, it's that. These are facts. They know that too. As dumb as these people can be, they have the numbers too. They're looking at all of them. Oh, gas prices way up. Okay. Hold on. Let me see. Electric prices way up. Okay. They know. They don't care. They have wanted to destroy this country for a long, long time. They finally have the opportunity in front of them to do so, and they're jumping on it. We have now the Treasury Secretary talking about, hey, it's a big deal. We got wind and solar, baby.
Over the medium term, the critical thing is that we become more dependent on the wind and the sun that are not subject to geopolitical influences, and passing clean energy credits that will boost non-renewables is, I think, really, really critical to addressing climate change and our energy costs for households going forward.
So what do we get out of the White House? He always wants to act like he's doing something. Well, you'll love this. Well, he's trying to invoke the Defense Production Act, which is for national security matters, I might point out, the Defense Production Act to get more solar panels. Hold on, what? Gas prices are too high and they're going all in to get more solar panels? Well, you always follow the money. They don't have an answer for why we have a solar emergency.
On the Defense Production Act that was announced today, the president, what taking a step back from that, what emergency is the president using to invoke the Defense Production Act? Because historically it's been in the 1950s for the Korean War, and during COVID it was enacted. What emergency is it, or what's the real emergency in the solar industry for the Defense Production Act?
For this particular Clean Energy Defense Production Act, he is invoking the Defense Production Act to rapidly expand domestic production of solar panel parts, building insulation, heat pumps, and more. He is putting the full force of the federal government's purchasing power behind supporting American clean energy manufacturers.
Did you catch it at the end? Did you catch it? You know there's no emergency. There's no way she can answer that question. That's why she didn't answer it. But did you catch it at the end? The clean energy manufacturers. You see, Democrats, they get into office and they do two things. They punish their enemies, they reward their friends. He's invoking the Defense Production Act because he's not concerned about high gas prices. He's concerned that his gigantic green energy donors have their pockets properly lined so they can continue to hand out campaign cash to Democrats. That's the truth. And that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to join us next to talk about this gigantic farce. Before she gets to us, let's talk about something really quickly, the health of your family, because the cost of everything is going up right now, including the cost of medical care. It just is, right? So there are little things we can all do. Believe me, I'm pointing fingers right here. We can eat better, get better sleep, maybe a little less bourbon on Friday. We can also get Eden Pure Thunderstorms in our home. Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I own three of them. It does more than, well, took care of my allergies. It cleans your air constantly, constantly killing the viruses and mold that are in your air. Keep your family out of the doctor's office. Get a few Eden Pure Thunderstorms. They have a three-pack for sale for my viewers for under $200 right now. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse, and that gets you a three-pack for under $200. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
On the solar panels, how is this not a gift to Chinese solar manufacturers, who many of whom operate with forced labor and are subsidized by the Chinese Communist Party?
You know, today's announcement is about one country and one country alone, and it's about the United States.
Okay. Joining me now, the great Congresswoman from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Congresswoman, I just want to make sure I understand this right. Americans are being slaughtered at the pump, watching their standard of living decrease, and the President of the United States of America is invoking the Defense Production Act to pay Chinese, communist Chinese, and his green energy donors here in America. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you have that right. But let me add to it, Jesse. We're also going to be buying solar panels from foreign countries. So Joe Biden is using the Defense Production Act to buy solar panels from countries like Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, other countries. And then we're going to be building solar panel energy systems over in Europe, because that's all about America, right? And even to go further, we're going to be building them down in Puerto Rico. But Joe Biden doesn't seem to care about, you know, building new refineries for diesel fuel or helping Americans afford gas at the pump, which is what really Americans care about, or even getting baby formula on the shelves because moms and dads can't find baby formula. No, he's more interested in doing the Green New Deal and making Bernie Sanders happy and selling out America, but calling it an emergency with the Defense Production Act.
Congresswoman, I'm glad you don't think like this, but I know these people do think like this, where everything's about power and money, right? Everything's about power and money. So if I'm Joe Biden, and I know I can increase domestic oil production and maybe stay elected in 2024, certainly mitigate the losses in the midterms, or I cannot and pay off my green energy donors and then get bounced from office, why wouldn't I just drill for oil? Are they that beholden to these climate change nutters?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the way you just talked would be common sense. But Jesse, you and I both know they don't have common sense. They are completely bought in and committed to making the Green New Deal a reality, which is absolutely serving the climate gods that they worship. And it means that all of energy will have to be so-called green energy. I mean, you and I are going to have to depend on solar panels and wind farms out in the ocean in order to light our homes, you know, warm our homes during the winter, provide air conditioning, which those of us in the South and Georgia, we really like in the summertime, but also important things like power hospitals and power, important facilities But Joe Biden and the Democrats don't care about that. What they care about is fundamentally destroying America's energy as we know it and changing over to this new system, which only serves a lie because it's not sustainable, and it will literally drive us into darkness.
Yeah, it will. All right, I got a little video clip here from Transportation Secretary Rear Admiral Buttigieg.
And then there's the other path that congressional conservatives have put forward, which doesn't really speak much to inflation. Raising taxes on lower and middle class families, making a lot of political hay out of the very real challenges that families are feeling, and going to war with Mickey Mouse. So there's a very clear difference in strategies here.
These people don't even pretend to care about things like inflation and gas prices. All they know how to do is change the subject.
He doesn't seem to understand how any things work. You know, here he is, the transportation secretary, and you think he would care about roads, and you would think he would care about those that drive on the roads, like our truckers. And our truckers need diesel fuel. And right now we're in a serious crisis and shortage for diesel fuel. And we have Joe Biden and his administration, you know, it's basically a ship of fools over there at the White House. And they are depleting our very important strategic petroleum reserves. They are selling out gasoline and diesel fuel as fast as possible because they really do want to deplete our stores. But Pete Buttigieg thinks that it's about Disney and that we're the problem when he can't even do his job and he can't understand how to do his job. The Democrats are completely foolish, and they are not connected with real Americans and the problems that they're facing every single day.
It's not exactly a secret that Republicans are going to do very well at the midterms. That's just the nature of how crappy Democrats are. But I am very worried about the kind of Republicans we're going to get elected. Another group of eunuch GOP losers does nothing for me, Congresswoman.
Me either, Jesse. I'm right there with you. As a matter of fact, I think oftentimes I blame Republicans more than I do Democrats. You know, Jesse, Democrats tell us who they are every single day. Yeah. You just played a clip of a very dumb Democrat, Pete Buttigieg, and what he thinks everything is wrong. But the reality is it's Republicans that have failed us for a very long time now. And I'm blaming Republicans in the Senate. You see, Joe Biden's radical gun-grabbing legislation that they're forcing down America's throat to take away our Second Amendment rights is only possible because of weak Republicans in the Senate. And there's one in particular that has me really angry. Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, a very red state filled with a lot of gun owners. Well, he's so interested in passing Joe Biden's gun bills that he tweeted about it. He's basically saying, let's go, let's vote right now. And he's going to green light every single bill that comes across that is Joe Biden's radical gun confiscation plan for America. And Lindsey Graham is the problem. That is the real problem. When we have Republican senators that can't stand up and fight back against Democrats and stop this attack on our freedoms, then we have Republicans who are failing our country. You know, Lindsey Graham has been in office for 27 years, Jesse, and over 27 years, all we have seen is $30 trillion in debt and a steady loss of freedoms. Those are the type of Republicans that need to go home. The ones that are more interested in going to war with countries like Russia and other foreign countries, and all they care about is serving, you know, the military-industrial complex because they're nothing but a bunch of neocons. That's not who the Republican Party is anymore. The Republican Party has a new face, and it's the face of the American people, and America First is our priority, our goals, and the strategy that we need to fight for every single day.
Finally, did an interview last week with a doctor, Dr. Naomi Wolf. She's gone through the Pfizer documents. And I want to stress this, they're the Pfizer documents. They're not Jesse Kelly's documents. They're not Dr. Naomi Wolf's documents. These are Pfizer's documents they were forced to release, and that's all she talked about. And yet all the social media companies, I know you put ours out there, they're all trying to censor it. They're labeling the video misleading. There's no truth at all anymore with these communist congresswomen. How are we supposed to live in a world where a post-truth world like this?
Well, it's very difficult, and I totally understand. They deleted my personal Twitter account for telling the truth about COVID. And that is why I lost my Twitter account. And Jesse, the reason why I brought attention to what happened to yours is because you're telling the truth about Pfizer. And like you said, these are their documents. This is why I introduced a bill to protect the victims of VAERS, the ones that have reported their either death, loved ones have reported deaths, they've reported vaccine injuries, they've reported so many problems, and all of these people have been completely ignored. But now that we're seeing these documents come out of Pfizer that they did not want to release, they were trying to hide this information from the American people for 75 years. And I tell you why, it's because if you read those documents, and I know you did, Jesse, and thank you so much for being one of the few that are willing to talk about this, it shows that Pfizer has blood on their hands. Because the truth about those vaccines, not only do they not work and they do not stop COVID-19, but the truth is they cause miscarriages, they have caused deaths, they have caused a complete unbelievable line of problems and physical ailments for people. And many of them are permanent, heart damage and nerve damage and so on. But the very idea that Twitter labeled your information, your show, and what you were saying about the Pfizer documents misleading or misinformation, that makes Twitter liable as well. And I believe, Jesse, that it is up to Republicans. It is imperative, and it's our responsibility. When we take back control in the majority and we take back the House, these are the kind of brave, courageous actions that we have to take on. And that is going after social media companies like Twitter and Facebook or any big tech company that is willing to lie on the behalf of Pfizer or any other pharmaceutical company or any politician or political party. Because if they're willing to lie and label the truth misleading or misinformation, that means they are every single bit on board, and they need to be held liable for that as well.
Amen. Congresswoman, thank you so much for what you do. Please keep doing it.
Thank you, Jesse. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. January 6th. Oh, we're going to talk about that a little bit next. It's in the news now, but let's talk about something good first. It's hard. I mean, we opened up the show tonight talking about Burger King going crazy and all these corporations going crazy. It's hard to know where to go now, right? Where do you go? Where do you shop? You're going out to get a cup of coffee. How do you know you're not going to get coffee from a business that hates you and dumps on your values every single day? I don't know about you. I'm tired of corporations spitting on me. I've had enough. Public SQ is here now. I can download Public SQ. So can you. Google Play, Apple, whatever you got. Public SQ. It's right there in the App Store for you. What is it? Well, you want to know which coffee shop stood up for you when it came to COVID? They'll tell you. Where should you go buy those tires? Need an appliance repairman? Public SQ will tell you where to put your money where your morals are. You don't know? I don't know. They do. Public SQ. Go get it today. It's awesome. I'll be back. I'm sure you've seen the January 6th stuff is in the news, that scary insurrection that almost took down America without any guns or anything like that. And I say it's a good thing it's in the news. I opened up the show talking about how mad I was at the gas pump. What do you think if you're filling up your car and you can't afford it and you get home and turn on the news and all Democrats in the media can talk about is January 6th? How mad is that going to make you? Maybe I'm wrong, though. Joining me now, my friend Julie Kelly. Go read everything she does. I do. She's been all over the January 6th stuff and the political prisoners we have in this country. Julie, I say this is a good thing, not a bad thing.
Well, I think to your point, Jesse, regular Americans who aren't obsessed with trying to take down Donald Trump, people who live outside of the Beltway, obviously could care less about a four-hour disturbance that happened now 17 months ago when they're struggling with high gas prices, food prices, moms can't find formula for their babies, the border is wide open, our cities are under siege by criminals, a lot of more serious issues, but here are House Democrats focused on what? QAnon shaman who walked into the Senate chambers alongside Capitol Police officers, or the Indiana grandma who was hauled off, charged with trespassing, and had to tell the court that she believed Joe Biden was legitimately elected, you know, in all these kangaroo courts that are happening in the D.C. District House. So, this is fine. This is going to backfire. Democrats always overreach. But look, Jesse, there is a serious component of this, as you know.
and that our lives are being destroyed by this prosecution. The DOJ is working hand in hand with this committee now to charge people. We saw Proud Boys being charged with seditious conspiracy. No American has ever been convicted of that. Hauling off Peter Navarro from Reagan National Airport last week in handcuffs, five armed FBI agents hauling him out of there in public to humiliate him. So there's really a dangerous, destructive aspect of this. But the performance on Thursday should wake up Americans that Democrats do not care one thing about what they're really suffering from. They just want Donald Trump to pay for inciting the scary insurrection on January 6th.
Julie, I want to pause before we get to the Peter Navarro thing you just brought up, because you mentioned something that I actually hadn't heard, and I try to follow all your stuff as closely as possible. They forced a grandma to publicly acknowledge that Joe Biden is president of the United States of America. How is that even a legal punishment that's allowed in this country?
There are public defenders, and this is one instance of that. Public defenders who, of course, hate Donald Trump, hate his supporters. There's one public defender named Heather Shaner. This is the case that I'm referring to. She gives reading lists and movie lists to her clients that show America as systemically racist. And these people then read these books. They write these mea culpas to the court, apologizing for their white privilege, recognizing all the problems in America. And in some instances, then telling the court they were misled and that, yes, Joe Biden is the legitimately elected president of the United States. You still to this day, Jesse, have judges, including the chief judge of the D.C. District Court, confronting people who are just charged with parading in the Capitol or pleading guilty to that and demanding to know whether they accept Joe Biden was legitimately elected or did they still believe the big lie from Donald Trump. This happens routinely in court hearings. This is not America. It's not American. It violates the Constitution and everything that this country is about. But yet this is what these defendants have to go through to try to beg for mercy in the court system that has no mercy for them whatsoever.
Grief. All right. To your point that you made earlier about Peter Navarro, he was on Tucker Carlson's show last night, had this to say.
I live right next door, 50 yards from the FBI. On the Wednesday night, I sent an email to Patricia Aloy, the deputy attorney, and said, look, I'm seeking a modus vivendi here. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. Let's see what we can do. I gave her the name of an attorney. I told Walter Giordano, the FBI agent, who'd come banging on my door the week before. Hey, Walter, I'm here. Just call me, whatever you need. You don't need to bang on my door. They chose a different route. They didn't call my attorney. Instead, they went with this shock and awe terrorist strategy. They let me go to the airport and then take me with five agents like I'm an Al-Qaeda terrorist, rock me into a car, and the next thing I know, look, man, in leg irons, handcuffs, strip search. I mean, it was not without comedy. I mean, at one point, the FBI agents couldn't find the door to go into where I was supposed to go. The fingerprint machine didn't work. But people do not want to sit in solitary confinement in leg irons, denied food, denied water, denied an attorney.
Julie, that sounds like an FBI that has become the enforcement arm of the Democratic Party and should be disbanded.
It absolutely should. And I know, Jesse, this is something that you have called for, abolishing the FBI. It is only acting as the law enforcement, the Stasi, or the Democratic Party. But look, what Peter Navarro described is just a little bit of what more than 800 Americans and counting. DOJ today announced charges against two men in Texas who were arrested for allegedly assaulting police officers 17 months ago. They are trying to get to a total of 1,000 defendants, I believe. But what Dr. Navarro described is what over 800 Americans have endured at the hands of this FBI. Pre-dawn raids with dozens of armed agents, SWAT vehicles, battering rams, knocking down their front door. People have been arrested in front of their elderly spouses. They've been arrested at gunpoint in front of their children, all of their devices taken away, interrogated by the FBI without a lawyer present, sent off to set, yes, in solitary confinement, sometimes for days, but also for more than a year. You've got dozens of men who are sitting in a DC gulag who have been there Since last spring, now approaching a year and a half, awaiting trials that the same DOJ continues to delay with the consent of DC District Court judges, withholding evidence from them, and now trying to extract plea deals out of them or threaten them with life in prison. I mean, this is straight up Soviet era political punishment, persecution. And unfortunately, Jesse, it is only going to get worse. You see now how this committee is working with DOJ. The Proud Boys indictments that came out yesterday. The Proud Boys will be a big focus of this January 6th performance on Thursday night, all to build momentum to justify criminal charges against Donald Trump for either conspiracy or obstruction of an official proceeding, which I believe is where this is going to end up.
Good grief. Julie Kelly, you're the best. Thank you, ma'am.
You are. Thanks, Jesse.
All right, we have This Month in Wokeism with Dave Rubin next. Before we get to that, let's talk about scammers. I hate scammers. I hate thieves. I always have. And I really hate all the online theft that's out there. Now, I know all theft is bad, but I hate that you could be getting robbed right now. I could be getting robbed right now and we wouldn't know it. This is the new breed of criminal. They're not out there with a ski mask and a gun. They have a keyboard and a powerful computer. You know what they're looking for right now? Your home title. If they find it, it's all in the cloud, right? If they find it, they'll hack into it. They'll forge your signature on it. It'll look totally real. Believe me when I tell you it'll look totally real. This happened to me. And they'll go out to lenders and they'll take loans out against your home and you won't have any idea. No one's going to call you, hey, Bob, congrats on your loan. Oh, but you'll find out 2 or 3 months later when you start getting late notices and then eviction notices for a loan you never took. Go get Home Title Lock right now. They'll detect any tampering and shut it down like that. Don't get burned. HomeTitleLock.com. I'll be back. Well, I'd be lying to you if I said we've reached peak insanity here. I don't think there is a peak, or I guess I should say there's not a valley. They're just going to keep digging till they get to the center of the earth. But I have to tell you, this one made me snicker. Obviously, it's Pride Month. I know you're going to find that shocking. I'm sure you haven't been barraged by that everywhere. Well, Burger King, they're on top of it. They're introducing the Proud Whopper, where you can get two tops or two bottoms for your bun. Joining me now to talk about that and all kinds of other insanity is my friend Dave Rubin, of course, of the Great Rubin Report and author of the book, Don't Burn This Country. Dave, I got to be honest with you, man, that might be my favorite of the all-time corporate insanity ones, right next to the Chipotle one they did a few years ago where they said homo estas. I thought that one's always up there too.
Jesse, as you know, I've spent a lot of time with Jordan Peterson, and one of the things he says is that you should be very careful with your words. So I really want to get this one right. So kind of sit back in your chair for this one because I'm going to really nail this one. If you walk into Burger King and you're thinking about anal sex, something's wrong with you. Goodbye. That's all I have to say for this. I mean, these people are completely insane. You're right when you said, you got it just right. When you said that there is no peak nor no valley, there is no top nor bottom to this thing. They are unleashing the gates of hell on all of us. And you, my friend, have been one of the best when it comes to never apologizing to these people and really calling them out for what they are. They are never gonna stop. And until people really realize that every norm, every line, every sane thought, every obvious truth, until they have rampaged through everyone, they will not stop. And there will be no stopping then either. So the only thing that we can do is disconnect from these people. I can tell you this, look, as you know, I happen to be married to a dude, all right? It is what it is, it's fine. We're having kids, that's our life. I want nothing to do with this. And there are plenty of decent gay people out there, Peter Thiel, Douglas Murray, many others, who want nothing to do with this thing. This LGBTQ, LMNOP thing, that is a monstrosity that has nothing to do with the average person who is trying to live their life, hopefully to the best of their ability. But this is the worst sort of corporate pandering BS. And you're right, this one tops them all, so to speak.
It does, it certainly does. Well, speaking of woke pandering BS, you actually sat down with our man Heavy D in Florida recently. Here's a little clip of it.
But I think Disney took it one step further when they put out this incredible statement after they already did all their virtue signaling after we signed the bill, saying this was somehow a violation of human rights and that they would work to see that parents' rights and education were repealed through the legislature. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, I took an oath to support the laws and constitution of the U.S. and the state of Florida. I did not take an oath to subcontract out my leadership to a corporation based in Burbank, California. They don't run this state.
Dave, it seems like such a loser for these corporations to do these things. I mean, we already joked about Burger King and all the rest of them, but let's talk about Disney in particular. Okay, this is a children's company. Why go this route? They quite literally cannot afford to turn off a nation of parents, a nation of families. They can't afford to do so. They lost like $41 billion in the wake of all this, yet they continue to proceed. Why?
Because there is no end to this thing. That's what people don't understand. The woke ideology is a virus, right? And what is a virus? A virus is very easy to catch and very hard to get rid of, right? And, you know, I liken this often to the Alien. Remember the original Alien 1977 movie? If you remember that, you know, the alien is killing everybody aboard the ship. And the doctor, he loves the alien, right? Because even though he doesn't like what it's doing, he doesn't like watching all these people get killed, he admires that it does what it does mercilessly and unrelentingly and without morals. And that's what this woke thing is doing. The people that are injecting this into all of Disney and all of Disneyland, as you guys are showing those images, this place that is supposed to be wholesome and family friendly and for kids and have nothing to do with sexuality or gender identity or any of those things, which all of us can discuss and have our own feelings about as adults, but it should have nothing to do with children. They have decided to let activists into their organization to basically run the place. So I'm sure you showed it on your show a couple weeks back when Bob Chapek, who's the CEO of Disney, he does this Zoom call with a bunch of his, you know, diversity people, and they're all talking about their pansexual kids and transsexual aunts and uncles and the rest of it. And he's bowing to them. He's basically saying to them, oh, I'm so sorry, I need to be a better ally. And man, it's like, you are all pathetic. And the only thing that any of us that can do that want to fight this, the only thing we can do is disassociate, separate, and make sure that whatever institutions we're building, whether it's literally a new burger joint, whether it's a new entertainment company, whatever, a freaking shoe repair store, that you never let this ideology in, because it is here to destroy. Jesse, it's a lot easier to destroy than build. That's why the wokesters never build anything. Have you noticed that? They destroy things. They never build anything.
Dave, you've brought this up a couple times, and I love that you talk about this because you're one of the leaders on this, and we need people to be about basically a parallel economy, a parallel but separate society. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think we need to be pushing a lot more in that direction. I'll be devil's advocate to myself and to you. Doesn't that separate the nation? You can't have one nation and two separate economies, can you?
Well, we sort of have it already, right? So the idea of it, I know, is scary to a lot of people, right? And look, we are the United States of America, but we have to have an honest conversation about what makes us united. As you know, for the last 8 years of my life, I lived in California, and then 6 months ago, I moved to the free state of Florida. I can tell you, after living here for 6 months, I feel like I live in a different country. I want nothing to do with California. I want nothing to do with the high taxes and high crime and you know, homelessness everywhere and bad roads and drugs and all of that stuff. And guess what? I have nothing to do with it, because in Florida, we're doing all of that stuff right, in large part because the people were wise enough to vote for the guy that you showed earlier, Ron DeSantis. So there's a discussion that has to be had there, because whether we would like it or not, the disconnect has already begun. Jesse, no one watching this show wants anything to do with Kathy Hochul, who is governing New York like a tyrant. They want nothing to do with Gavin Newsom, who is governing California like a tyrant and ramming those places into the ground. So what we have to figure out is, yeah, it sounds kind of gruff and rough, like, oh, we want to just disconnect from these people. Like, it sounds kind of mean, but I think it's the most sort of honest way we can deal with this. Because also, that's not asking the government for help. That's saying, hey, what are you going to do in your life to make sure that you and your friends and family and community are protected from this nonsense, because it ain't going to stop.
No. All right, finally, something that baffles me, Dave, I'll never understand it. We now know George Soros spent $40 million to help prosecutors get elected in 75 different American cities. We now see the murder and mayhem, and just it's an awful state of affairs in these cities. It blows me away that a supposed superpower, the United States of America, just allows a foreign-born billionaire to intentionally cause civil unrest within our country. Dave, are we even a superpower if we allow this stuff?
It's hard to tell what we are anymore. You know, I actually do believe in American exceptionalism, and I think that the world is better when America is leading and when we have peace through strength and we have a strong moral order. But look, do I believe that America is exceptional at the moment under the leadership of the man, the elderly man pretending to be President Joe Biden? I mean, of course I don't. But in relation to George Soros, I mean, George Soros is an evil man. He is an evil man who funds through hundreds of millions, if not more, dollars to put in some of the worst people into mostly these blue cities, and then they wreck the cities. This is a guy who has backed all sorts of DAs like Chesa Boudine up in San Francisco, and San Francisco is a dystopian nightmare, and George Gascon in LA, who has completely destroyed LA. I mean, none of the things he's doing are good unless, in your mind, it is good to destroy American cities. So I don't know what laws we have to look at to make sure that his funding can't do these kinds of things, but there have to be some laws related to some of these things. Or, going back to what we just discussed, at the very least, the red states have to say, no, you will not put money into our states. And congratulations, California, you're going to have George Soros' money, and you're going to have crime and drug use and murder and mayhem and boys that think that they're girls, and 2 + 2 = 5, and Burger King bottoms everywhere.
And tops. And tops. Dave Rubin.
Burger King
the Rubin
bottoms.
Report.
Happy Thanks. Pride, everybody.
Gosh. See you, brother. Appreciate it. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And I just want to tell you, if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. If you don't know why, well, here's why.
Hi, I'm Trev. This is my first drink.
I am Trev the groom, and this is my last drink.
Hi, I'm Holly. This is my first drink. Where am I going? My name is Holly. This is my last drink of the night.
Hi, my name is Simon, and this is my first drink. It's not really. This is Simon, and this is my last drink.
I'm Neve, this is my first drink.
I'm Neve, cheese bridesmaid, and this is my last drink.
Cheese bridesmaid?
Cheese bridesmaid.
Have you got a cheese board?
I'm chief bridesmaid.
Cheese.
I'm Lucas, this is my first drink.
I'm Lewis, this is my first drink.
Go.
I'm Lewis, and this is my last drink.
Go. Hi, I'm the bride, and this is my first drink.
I'm the bride, and this is my last drink. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.